This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients.
So, Brie, I remember this one time I was in a bike race around Tucson, and I wasn't paying attention. We were riding down 4th Avenue, and there's railroad tracks, like streetcar tracks, and my bike's tire like went and wedged in to the railroad tracks,
no!
And I totally fell down and just like skinned my hands, everything. Ugh. I had nothing with me, nothing at all. And it's that times where you want a first aid product and you have nothing. And Active Skin Repair utilizes a molecule called hypochlorous acid. When applied to the skin, the molecule works by mimicking the natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support healing. I've used it on my son's mosquito bites, and I wish I would have had it the time I totally scraped up my hands.
Oh, I hear you. Like whenever I go paddleboarding, kayaking, I'm always trying to find something that is like an all-in-one that I can take with me. And Active Skin Repair could be used like that. It can be used to treat cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburns, rashes, and other types of skin damage. It's also safe and non-toxic, which makes it suitable for all skin types, all parts of the body, like eczema, and acne-prone skin, all of that.
With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients so safe and clean they can be used from the youngest member of the family to the oldest, you now have one simple solution for all of your family's skin health needs. Visit www.activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and to get 20% off your order. Use code NOGUILT. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crone, joined here by Brie Don't Move My Cheese Tucker.
Hello, hello, everybody. How are you?
It's funny because actually we do talk about cheese in this episode about recipes and cheese.
Technically, we talk about cheese every time we say my name. So
every time.
There's that.
Brie, but like yes. The Italian cab driver from Maggia. Brie.
Wait, didn't he call me crazy cheese? I feel like he called me crazy cheese.
Oh, he might have. He might have.
Yeah.
Those Italians. We're talking with my friend, Ruth Sukup, my friend, my business coach, my mentor. I've known her for many years and she started a new company. And we're talking about the downside of body positivity, which this interview, Brie, like it totally made me rethink body positivity. And thinking about how we eat in terms of our bodies and how we feel about our bodies and what really leads us to feeling that way about our bodies.
Oh my gosh, yes. Because like we talk about in this episode, there's so much guilt there. So much that just we carry a lot with us. And you know, you're supposed to be body positive. And then when you aren't feeling positive about your body, a lot of times we have that guilt then. We're like, dang it, I'm supposed to be okay with this. Why am I not okay?
So if you don't know Ruth Sukup, she's the founder of 4 companies. She's a New York Times bestselling author of 7 books, host of the recently resurrected Do It Scared podcast, among other things. And her passion is for helping women create the life they love. And she's also the mom to 2 teenage girls. She's phenomenal. And we hope you enjoy our conversation with Ruth.
This episode of the No Guilt Mom podcast is brought to you by
the Drama Free Homework Challenge. We have another challenge coming your way. We know that school is approaching if you're not in it already again. We here in Phoenix, we have started. But if you are dreading just the homework time and the fighting about homework and the getting kids to do homework and the questions about how you even do the homework they bring home, make sure you keep an eye out for the Drama-Free Homework Challenge. You can actually register right now. It is a 5-day challenge that'll make your family's homework time calmer, happier, and more productive because we're going to give you strategies that you could use to manage all the big emotions that come around homework while still encouraging kids to get the necessary stuff done. The challenge runs from Wednesday, August 17th through Tuesday, August 23rd. Everything is online, so go sign up right now. Our link is in the show notes, and we will see you there. Now, on with the show.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal, too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
Welcome back to the No Guilt Mom Podcast, Ruth. We're happy to have you here again as what we say is the Two Timers Club.
Oh, I like being part of the Two Timers Club. I'm very excited to be back. Thank you guys so much for having me back on here. It's an honor.
You're part of a select crew, and I'm super excited to talk about this because I've known you for a while now, and it's really interesting to think about how long it's been, because I think it's been since 2017, and it doesn't seem like it should be that long. Like, it feels like we're getting kind of old, but besides
like we're
going to
celebrate our 5-year anniversary?
Yeah, I think we are. I think we are.
What's the 5th anniversary? I need to look that up. Is that
it's Sapphire. It's Sapphire.
Oh my gosh. Okay, Sapphires.
I wouldn't even know.
Don't ask me how I know that, but I do.
But in those 5 years, I've seen you go through all of these kind of like transformations and changes. And now you've started a brand new arm of your business. And
I have.
Super fascinating. And it stems from really your personal transformation and challenges with weight loss. So can you fill everybody in on your story?
Yes. Yes, I can. And because honestly, I needed to start a new business like I needed a hole in the head. it was not intentional, but also I find that it's something that now I just can't stop talking about. So there was no way to avoid it, because starting businesses is apparently what I do, and they have to be based on where I'm at in my life. And this has been a big journey for me. We've known each other, Joanne, for 5 years. And so I don't think that you've probably known the extent of, during that 5 years, my own struggle with my weight and just, you know, the ups and downs that start to happen. You get to a certain age, you get closer to 40, and then you get past 40, and it's hard. It's hard as a woman, especially when you are busy, you know, raising your kids and trying to run a business or build a career or doing all the things. There's just not enough hours in the day to do all the things.
Yeah. What I did see is all the things you tried. I remember all the apps you were trying. I remember you taking pictures of your food and having it like looked up by a nutritionist. I remember a lot of those things.
I know. Yeah. Cause I would tell you about all these things about like, because I was like, oh, I did this. I did a juice cleanse. I did.
Oh yeah.
Like I had the meal delivery service, and it was one thing after another, and it was all the things because I needed something that was easy. I think that was the biggest thing. Like I just didn't have time to really focus on losing weight, and I didn't have time to focus on like trying to do what I knew I was supposed to be doing, the things that everybody tells you that you're supposed to be doing in order to lose weight. Because I knew that when I did try things, I would be able to handle it for a little while, but then I would, you know, I would do the meal delivery and it was fine if I was at home, but I was traveling all the time. And so then I was going out to eat, and then that didn't work. And it just like, there was just, it was so hard. It was so hard. So it was on this yo-yo cycle, and I would gain weight, and then I would lose it, and then I would gain a little bit more back, and then I would lose some, and just back and forth and back and forth. And I don't think I even acknowledged to myself how much of a struggle it was and how hard it was, because I was still trying to live my life at the same time. So it was kind of this like just ongoing thing in the background where I just wasn't quite happy with my body. And so I would have these moments where I would feel like I got to do something about this, and I would get really serious, and then I would get busy, and then it would just, I'd be like, you know what? I'm just going to love myself the way that I am, right? Body positivity. That's the message that we hear. And it's not a bad message, but it's not always like, it doesn't always tell the full story, I think, because we can tell ourselves we're happy with our body, but if you're really not, like that doesn't go away. It just doesn't.
That's what I was going to say. Like getting to that point of being genuinely happy with your body, especially over 40, because again, it changes a lot. at that time.
Yes.
It's hard. It's really hard. You try to, especially when you have kids or daughters, I think especially, but it's hard.
Well, and it's also the like example we're showing to our kids. Cause like I grew up, my grandma went to Weight Watchers all the time and she could never lose the weight. And my mom was a lifelong Weight Watchers and she's still like trying. And just, I even went down to Tucson this past weekend and she was cooking up this meal, one pan for her, one pan for my dad. My dad had like all this great stuff in it. And my mom is like spinach and she was just very unhappy with it. And I think that's the message that we're told, that like it just like you just keep doing it and keep doing it and it sucks.
Yes. Hey all, it is Joanne
and Bree here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explained. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explained, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode. And all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples, because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains, or just click on the link in our show notes. From the creators of the hit kids podcast Who Smarted and Netflix's Brainchild comes the adventurous world of mysteries about true histories, affectionately known as Math.
Every episode follows Max and Molly. I gotta say, love the name Max. That's my puppy dog's name. Who have just recruited into a secret order of problem solvers on an adventure through time packed with puzzles, hidden equations, history, and laughs. It actually makes learning pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, I listened to this with my son, and it was so fun to listen to. I loved how modern it was with a cool aunt that they really dug, and like they dealt with bullies. My son also enjoyed all the math involved. Like, he thought it was really cool.
Well, and I have to say, I love anything that brings learning and fun together for kids. I really, really wish that something like this was around for my teens when they were younger. We would have absolutely devoured this on our car trips. It would have been amazing. It's perfect for kids ages 6 and up, and new episodes drop every Thursday.
So tune in to Mysteries About True Histories with your kids. You can follow and listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods.
And it's a lifelong battle and it sucks. It is. Yes, exactly. And I remember my mom doing that too. Like, she would give everybody else the full size plate and she would have a small plate, and she did Nutrisystem and Jenny Craig and all these things. I remember that growing up too. And Weight Watchers, same thing. Mm-hmm. And it would never work, right? Like, it would never work. And she was always feeling like she couldn't do it. And then I found myself being almost like in that same situation. But I have two daughters and they are now teenagers, and I don't want my daughters, because I mean, eating disorders and insecurity with teenagers and like all the things, right? Like, my husband and I were just talking today, like, man, it sucks being a teenage girl. There's so much that sucks about it. And I did not want to be showing them something other than me being happy with myself. And so even in my husband and I remember having this conversation with him, and my husband is a saint, and he never was unhappy with my body. Like, I want to be very clear about that. Like, my unhappiness stemmed from my own dissatisfaction with my weight and stuff. It was never him. Like, he, in fact, now he tells me I'm too skinny and my boobs are too small. Mostly it's just about the boobs. He's like, I miss your big boobs. I'm like, 34D is still pretty big, babe. He's like, no, I want the triple D's.
They complain about the lack of boobs and lack of butt. Like, that's what you hear.
Yes,
right?
He does complain about my butt too.
Yep. Where'd the butt go? I'm like, now I can fit into pants. Let's just be nice about the butt being gone.
Oh my gosh. No, you guys are really nice. I'm like, excuse me, I am happy the way I am. Don't comment on my body. Thank you.
No, it's so funny. It's so true though. But one thing that we did talk about very consciously, even when our girls were younger, is how important it is for him to compliment me and to compliment our girls on their, just on their body and on me, on my body in front of them, to say like, and to tell me that I'm beautiful and to tell me that he loves me, you know, not in a creepy way. And that, cause that can sound like a little bit creepy, but in a way that like, I mean, so many studies show, right? Like girls' confidence is built by having that relationship with their dad. And so he's always been amazing at that. And he's, and so that was really important to me though, too, is in thinking about wanting to get serious about losing weight, to not have it be a thing for my girls. I don't want them to see me eating differently. I didn't want me to have a small plate and them to have a big plate. Like I want to eat the same things. I want them to never feel like they need to be weird about food or restricting. And so that was such a huge piece of me trying to figure out what was going to be sustainable. Ultimately, I felt like I tried all these things, right? I had all these yo-yos back and forth and up and down, and nothing seemed to stick because it couldn't work for my life. But when I really decided to get serious, which was about a year ago now, after seeing a picture of myself that somebody, one of my neighbors posted on Facebook, and I was like, oh my gosh, is that what I really look like? And that, it was crazy because I remember thinking that I looked so cute that day. Like I was wearing this new dress and yeah, it was like a size XL and I was had like Spanx on in 95 degree heat and was trying to ignore that part, right? But I was like, yeah, the Spanx is keeping it all in and I look good and I was feeling so good. And then I saw the picture and I was like, I did not feel like I looked like that. Right? It was like shocking.
Pictures are scary. Pictures are so scary.
They are, because I would take a lot of selfies and you can be very flattering in your selfies.
Exactly. Upward angle. Exactly. But even like then, I think it's not so much like the picture, because like you did think you look cute, but then you also said you're like, I was wearing the Spanx under it. So you were like doing all of these extra kind of things to kind of deal with this way you felt about your body almost. And it kind of brought it to light.
Yes.
But yeah, I can see though how that's like really frustrating though too, because like you said, like you had this feeling that you had done all these things and that you still, you had the look that you wanted to have. And then when you see that picture, you're like, oh my gosh, just it's.
That's not what I want. Yeah. And I mean, at that point, I was the heaviest I've ever been. I weighed more than I did at 9 months pregnant. I weighed more than my husband, which I think for me was like the worst of it, right? Like, and I am a little bit taller than my husband. I'm like 3 inches taller than him. So, but he has always weighed more than me. Like boys are supposed to weigh more than girls, right?
And that's what we get told.
Maybe that's not a thing.
We're told. That's like ingrained in us.
It was in my mind. And so
it plays with you, definitely.
No. Yeah. And that just, you know, it just is like, it messes with you for sure.
I'm going to have to raise my hand on that because it could be 43 this year. And we went on a cruise back in October and they had a water slide. And because of like, I don't know, because of whatever standards on the water slide, you had to be weighed. They put you on a scale to be weighed to get on the water slide. I got on and I'm going to just tell you like at full disclosure, I'm exactly where you're talking about. I'm the biggest I've ever been, definitely more than my husband. And I am not comfortable with where I'm at. So getting on that scale was so scary. And then when I got on it, the freaking attendant guy looked at the weight and then looked at me and went, whoa. And I was like, excuse me.
He needs to be fired.
I was so mad. I'm lividly angry. And at the same time, I'm wanting to cry. And because again, like you said, tried so many things and nothing's working, that my body doesn't react the same way it used to. So I feel you.
And it's so true. Like you get to a certain point and your body just stops responding. And if you've like, you know, and there are people, lots of people and this is what I've learned about like in all of the research that I've been doing is how much I've learned about how different bodies just respond in different ways. And so for some people, it's been a struggle your whole life, right? But for a lot of women, you kind of go through your 20s and 30s and it's not that big of a deal, right? You can kind of eat what you want and it's not that hard. And you kind of stay exactly where you want to be. And then all of a sudden there's like that switch that happens and you're like, wait, what happened? I don't know what to do with this. And that I think can be almost harder because when you've been fighting, and it's probably hard both ways, honestly, but you've been fighting, whether you've been fighting it your whole life or whether it's more of a sudden thing, it just is so, it's so isolating too, that struggle, because you don't really want to talk about it yes. with other people, right? It's not like you want to walk around going, I feel like crap about myself. And yep. so you're in this battle all by yourself and you don't want to really talk about it with your, even with your spouse. A lot of times you feel so lonely and so not knowing where to turn with it. And then the ups and downs of it, the journey is hard. I feel you on it. And I like makes me want to go punch that guy in the face, to be honest.
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting what you just said about
the face.
Oh, I so wanted to punch that guy in the face. If I could have gotten away with it, I would have, but there's nowhere to run. Right? No. We're on a cruise ship. You didn't see me. But anyway, I agree with you on what you're saying. Like it's isolating because if you talk to the people that you feel the most comfortable with, your best friend or your spouse, they can't win because they either say, oh, you look great the way you are. And then you feel like crap for feeling bad. And you're also like, well, they're just lying now because I don't look good. Or they sympathize with you and they're like, I hear you. That has to be frustrating. And you're like in your head, oh, so you think I'm fat too. Great. Everybody says that. So nobody can win.
It's and like you said, I know.
You like suck in because what are you going to do? Yeah.
I know. My husband had finally got to a point with that question where I would ask like, does this look good? He's like, nope. That question is off limits because there is no way answer this question correctly, right? Like, does this make me look fat? Yeah, that's a like loaded gun right there. He's walking into a landmine.
He's a smart man. He's a smart man. But you have gone through all this, Ruth, and you finally found a way that is sustainable. And it seems like you figured it out what works for you. So what was the turning point? What did you do differently?
When I really decided, I saw that picture and I decided to get serious. And I was like, I got to figure out something that's going to actually work for my life because I can't diet. I'm done with dieting. This has to be a way of life for me. And so I started reading and really diving into the metabolic science. And I started like a low carb keto type philosophy because the one thing I will say that had worked the best for me over the years and all the things that I had tried was keto. I had done keto before and lost 25 pounds and it had felt like pretty good. And my husband was doing it too. And he liked eating that way. So that just felt like the thing to go back to. But what I found was that it doesn't feel sustainable for the long term, right? It just doesn't feel like this is the way that I could live forever. And I hit a plateau. I lost like maybe 25 pounds. And then I stopped. Like then it was just done. Nothing seemed to work. The scale wouldn't budge. And I still had more weight that I needed to lose.
If you like this show, there's a decent chance you'll also enjoy the Shameless Mom Academy. Hi, I'm Sarah Dean, the founder and host of the Shameless Mom Academy. The Shameless Mom Academy is a podcast for moms that centers moms more than it centers your kids. I'm not going to teach you how to make baby food or how to make your 3-year-old or 13-year-old stop having tantrums. Instead, I'm going to bring you back to yourself. For the last 20 years, I've been helping moms through growth and transformation. Inside the Shameless Mom Academy, I help you identify who you are and who you are becoming. Look, motherhood is hard. It brought me to my knees many times and sometimes still does. Returning to who I am and who I am becoming allows me to decide how to show up in all those sticky motherhood moments, but also in all my other relationships and in all the ways I show up in my various communities. So come check out the Shameless Mom Academy wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm willing to bet you'll leave feeling a little inspired and maybe even completely fired up. And you'll probably laugh a few times because I promise we never take ourselves too seriously over here. With 700 episodes to choose from, you're likely going to find something that sparks and speaks to you inside the Shameless Mom Academy.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above,
is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.
And so that's when I really started diving deeper into, well, why does keto work? And what is it about this? And why am I plateauing? And what's the science behind it? And I started really figuring out how to break through that and started making sense of it. And then the way that my brain works, it just started connecting the dots, right? So I was like, oh, there actually is a system to this. I understand why keto works at first, because your body works this way. But if you keep eating that way forever, that's not going to work, because your body needs to start burning your fat and not the fat that you're consuming. And if you continue eating all that fat, you're not going to lose anymore. And you actually have to get more protein. Like, it just started making sense to me. Mm-hmm. And then I also love to cook, at least when I have time and energy to cook.
Yeah.
And so I found it very fun and like to start developing recipes. And that's just like kind of my like release. And, you know, after work and on the weekends, I'd be like, I want to figure out, like, I miss breadsticks. How can I make breadsticks? And I miss this. Right. Cause if you're cutting out carbs in your diet, or you're going to a low carb, you think about like all the things that you can't have and what you want to have. And so and desserts, and started figuring out all of that. And so started developing these really just amazing recipes, and found that it was such an easy way to live. Like, it's an easy way to live when you go out to eat. It's an easy way to live and cook for your whole family, because the food is so delicious that your kids will eat it. It doesn't taste like diet food. And so
that's the hard part.
Works. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I don't cook separately. My kids love the food I cook.
No, and that's unsustainable to cook separately too. Like, and I love how you worked it into becoming a whole family thing, because that's really the hard thing with when you're unhappy with yourself and unhappy with your body type as a woman. And then you are usually responsible for feeding your children, and you need to feed your children, but getting them to eat the same things is usually very, very tough. And it's also tough from the standpoint of, like, you don't want to get them into diet culture. You want this to be a sustainable way of living and way of life. So I love what you did there. I love the creation of the recipes. I see a lot of your recipes. I see, how do you pronounce chaffles? Do you pronounce them chaffles?
Chaffles.
They're basically cheese waffles, aren't they?
They are. And they're so good. They're so good.
Seeing what you've done in making it a family, like, oriented thing is really incredible. Like, have your daughters kind of jumped on board with like the cooking with you? And are they excited about this way of eating?
They love the food. We don't cook like, we just don't make a big deal about it, right? So I don't make them only eat low carb, and we just don't make a big deal about it. When I make the things that we make for dinner and for family meals, and that all fits in line because my husband and I both eat this way. But if they want to go out and have a donut or something, you know, like whatever it is that teenagers like to eat,
which is everything,
all the junk food,
crap, all the things. Right? All which is everything. I hope that it's been a great example for them, and I think that is because for girls, right? Because that's what I have, two teenage girls. And I want them to see me be not only confident as a business owner and as the breadwinner for our family and as the a leader and all of that kind of stuff, which I feel like that is an example that I've shown for them, but for them to see me be confident in my body. And I've even noticed just very subtly, like, little things that they are clearly more comfortable with their bodies because I'm more comfortable with mine. Like, it's almost like an unspoken thing.
They see you display it, and that's the best way of teaching, is to display it yourself. It's something that I've tried to do for my kids in terms of body image and like not being as self-conscious as I was growing up. But just to see you and this new way of eating, and that you're helping like so many women do it the same. So give us a little spin. What is Thinlicious?
The idea behind it is that getting healthy and losing weight should taste and feel good. So our full program is called the Thin Adapted System, or TAS for short. And that really walks you through the whole thing, right? Like to how to get into like the 28-day metabolism reset is really phase one. That's about resetting the way that your body burns fuel. Phase two is called our ignite phase. And that's more about weight loss. So you stay in that phase for as long as you are wanting to lose weight. So, and everybody's going to be different because everybody has different goals and everybody's body's a little different, but it's really about like doing the things that are going to help ignite that and avoid those plateaus that so many people experience when you are trying to lose weight and sustain it long-term. Mm-hmm. And then phase three is really about maintenance for life, because this isn't a diet. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of living. So once you've reached your weight loss goals, how do you sustain this? How do you listen to your body? How do you know what your body needs? We teach you how to measure that and how to pay attention to that and your body mm-hmm. signals and all the things. It's very comprehensive. It's physician led.
Where do you want people to go?
Just go to thinlicious.com is the best place to go. Which is really easy to remember. Thinlicious. It's like the combination of thin and delicious. See what I did there? Thinlicious.com.
It's like, I get it.
It has been awesome. I'm talking to you as always, Ruth. And
thank you.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me back.
This concept about like having to feel a certain way to feel happy in your body, like it always gets me thinking. Because we want to be body positive. We want to show our daughters, especially, that we're happy with our bodies. But with that comes like reality. If we actually feel that way about ourselves, if we feel like we can do things, like I always think about what can my body do versus what does my body look like? But there is also in the back of your head, what does my body look like? And how do you get past that? Like, how do you get past it without taking action?
I don't know. It's hard, but I like what you just said though, because I don't do that at all. And that's definitely a mindset shift, thinking about all the things that your body can do. And even sometimes having that as your goal, like I wish, like I'll just say this, like over my life in the last 5 years, I had a broken knee, which had like seriously impacted my ability to do things. And I used to be really into yoga, and now I'm not much in there. And I feel like that is something that would help give me a boost towards a more positive mindset about my body. Like, okay, I can do this.
I think you really hit on the one important point about we don't think about what our bodies can do. We think about what we look like. And often we think that has to come before doing something. Like, right. Oh, I need to be thin before I can do this, or before exactly. I can put myself out there this way. And that's the narrative that we're always going through. And I think like the biggest change that I had in my body was when I ran my marathon. Like after I ran my first marathon, I was like, damn, like I just ran 26.2 miles. And it wasn't like I was the most thin. I wasn't. But I was so proud of being able to cover that distance. And then
as
again,
you should when my, be. That is yeah. amazing, honestly. Well,
and then again, like after my daughter was born, I had the same thing that Ruth has, where I saw a picture of myself and I'm like, that's not how I look on the outside, isn't how I feel on the inside. And I think it was the mismatch of that really got to me. And that's when I started like really being physically active, really like looking to see what I eat and what I put in my body and feeling better about it. Because when there's a mismatch, it's hard. Like it is. That's the like, I can't remember the psychological term for it, but there's a word.
There
it's
is.
Like the dissonance. It's cognitive dissonance and you can't rectify it. So we hope you enjoyed our interview with Ruth. Go check out Thinlicious. She has a lot of great, great recipes on there. These blueberry cheesecake bites I'm constantly looking at and being like, I wish I wasn't lactose intolerant and could eat all those.
We'll figure out a way to adjust it.
Figure out a way. So until next time, remember, the best mom's a happy mom. Take care of you and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
Hey, are you a parent of a teenager? Are you feeling overwhelmed about how to be what they need while also holding limits and boundaries that keep them safe? Are you tired of conversations that negate how messy this season of parenting is? Well, I've got you. My name is Casey O'Rourke. I am a positive discipline trainer, parent coach, and the host of the Joyful Courage podcast. Every week, I come to you with an interview, digging into tough topics with experts I trust and solo shows that go deep into the personal growth and mindset needed to raise teens in a way that grows them into confident, capable young people. I am not afraid of getting real about the intersection of conscious parenting and the teen years, while also bringing in vulnerability, humor, and lightness. I'm walking the path with you and honored to serve. Listen to Joyful Courage on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you consume podcasts.